As 1902 begins, the paper mill in Grand Rapids is nearing completion, and the power dam is ready for operation. The future looks good, and much has been accomplished. I titled my book, Papermakers, thinking of a trio that well deserved that name. First, there was the company itself and all of its employees, obviously papermakers. Then there was C.K. Blandon, who will soon appear in our story. He, like the Kaukauna people, was also a total amateur when it came to papermaking, but he would soon learn, and learn well, the complicated business of producing paper, and he would give the company and often the town needed direction. Third was the town itself. It had been behind finding a paper company and then supporting that company, and then there were many interconnecting links between the company and the town. So Grand Rapids itself is the third of the paper makers. So as we think of that, it makes sense to give some consideration to paper and its intriguing history. What is it, and how did it come about, and how is it ending up to be manufactured in Grand Rapids? Returning to the book, the industry that the early citizens of Grand Rapids had been so anxious to attract to their town does have an interesting history. Broadly defined, paper is a more or less thin tissue made of any of a wide variety of fibrous materials suspended in water and then meshed together and dried. Through the ages, the most frequent uses of paper have been as a medium for writing, printing, or drawing, and as a substance for wrapping. But there are so many diverse uses, and paper is so ubiquitous. Look around wherever you are, and I'm sure you'll see many examples of how it's been used. And yet, while it's hard to imagine an existence without paper today, in the Western world, paper is a relative newcomer. The earliest writing of Western civilization, cuneiform, consisted of series of wedge-shaped marks either impressed into wet clay or chiseled into stone. Sometime after that method was developed along the Tigris and Euphrates river valleys in the Near East, about 3000 BC, the ancient Egyptians invented papyrus. Although made from a plant sometimes referred to as the paper reed, papyrus is not a true paper. The plant was not reduced to the isolated and separate fibers. Rather, thin strips were cut from the large reeds and laid side by side. Additional strips were placed at right angles to the first. Water was added, releasing a glutinous matter in the plant, and the whole was hammered to bind it together. After drying in the sun, the sheets were polished. The material produced was very strong and durable. At a later period, parchment was developed, and that's what you mainly associate with writing during the Greek and Roman and into the Middle Ages. So parchment was developed. Skins of various animals were treated in various ways to make a lasting writing stock. Vellum, made from the most delicate skin of newborn or young calves or kids, was the very best grade of parchment. Few writing materials match its quality. Okay, true paper was an invention of the Chinese, probably about AD 100. And now it takes 600 years from that first invention of paper, 600 years for the idea to get as far as the Arab world. They learned of papermaking from Chinese prisoners and began producing. And now it takes four centuries, after paper was made in the Arabian Peninsula to first be made in Europe. The technology was used in Moorish Spain. And now more time lapses, almost 200 years now, before paper was finally being made in Italy. From Italy, the making of paper spread elsewhere in Europe, and by the middle of the 14th century, its use for literary purposes was well established. But not until the 1400s and the advent of the printing press did paper largely replace parchment and vellum. So awfully big change there, and of course with the printing press, you can really begin to distribute the written word far more than it had been possible to do so in the past. Well, from that time until the early 1800s, so more centuries going by, even though paper was increasingly in demand, it was handmade, usually from rag stock. The basic process of manufacture involved freeing and cleaning the already well-formed fibers of the textile by boiling, by mechanically teasing to destroy the cloth, and by bleaching. The isolated fibers were then mixed with water in a vat, and while in suspension, the fibers were scooped up on a section of handheld wire cloth attached to a low wooden frame that kept the mixture from flowing off the sides of the screen. As the water drained away through the mesh, the paper maker gently shook the tray to distribute the fibers evenly and to induce them to cross and intertwine so as to strengthen the sheet. The paper was soon formed well enough to be removed from the screen and placed upon a piece of felt. Alternate layers of felt and paper were stacked and then subjected to pressure to remove the remaining water. The paper was then further pressed and dried. This method resulted in a very high grade of paper, but even the most experienced craftsman could produce no more than about 750 small sheets per day. Nicolas Robert first introduced the process of making paper by machine in France in the revolutionary year 1798. He was an educated man who had served in the French artillery and wrote poetry on the side. During the last years of the French Revolution, he worked in the office of the mill that produced paper stock for the assignat, the by then quite worthless paper money of the First Republic. But they're requiring a lot of paper because as inflation is ruining them, you need ever more quantities with different values, larger values, printed over and over again. And Robert quickly saw a need for a machine. His first model produced paper only as wide as a piece of tape, but it was a long strip, unlimited by the dimensions of the frames that had been used in making paper by hand. His first practical machine resulted in sheets 2 feet wide and up to 12 yards long. Well, that's an impressive accomplishment and much bigger. Although the wallpaper designers provided a ready market, though, there were serious production problems, especially in drying those strips. Robert's machine consisted of a tub filled with prepared pulp that was automatically lifted to an endless hand-turned wire cloth, a belt of fine screen. The paper left the wire via felt rollers that removed some water but did not completely dry it. While Robert's concept was sound, the machine's imperfections made it impractical for commercial use. Henry Fourdrinier, the descendant of a French Huguenot family that had fled France during the persecution years of King Louis XIV, had sought refuge in England and there had established a flourishing family stationery business. Well, he became quite interested in what Robert had done and took it upon himself to attempt to improve it and to make some very considerable changes. He obtained interest and active involvement of several people who understood mechanics. The result was many improvements. Water wheels were used to supply power, and better ways were used to deliver the pulp to the wire. The improved, commercially feasible machine operated at a speed of 34 feet per minute and produced paper 54 inches wide. And we got to just stop for a moment and think again of what a change this is. 34 feet per minute. That is just so far beyond what handmade paper can produce. The distinction of lending his name to the paper machines did fall to Henry Fourdrinier, but as was the case with Robert, he derived no monetary reward from his efforts. Henry Fourdrinier died penniless at the age of 88. His family's long association with the paper trade ended very shortly thereafter. Now, in the New World, papermaking began in 1690 in Philadelphia, and handmade paper production spread during the 1700s. The first Fourdrinier machine in the United States was imported from Europe, but because shipping such large and complicated machinery so far was expensive and impractical, production of Fourdriniers began in the eastern United States in 1829. The biggest impetus to the manufacturing of paper in North America was the result of experiments in Germany in 1840. There, a machine for grinding and reducing wood to its fibrous content offered a solution to the growing difficulty of finding quantities of rags to keep up with an increasing demand for paper. The plentiful wood, water, and power supply in America, along with the new German technology, provided the ideal combination for making paper. The United States paper industry expanded tremendously during the last two decades of the 1800s. The Beloit Ironworks of Wisconsin, founded in 1858, began making replacement parts for paper machines that had been shipped to the Midwest. The firm's directors realized that a market for new machines was present in Wisconsin and neighboring states and tooled for production. When orders arrived, the company designed each machine to fit the specific needs of the customer. The firm garnered nationwide attention when its latest model was demonstrated at the 1892 Columbia Exposition at Chicago. That machine produced a 112-inch wide sheet of paper at the then incredible speed of 250 feet per minute. The company's proximity and reputation for excellence led the directors of the Grand Rapids Water Power and Boom Company to place their forgeneer order with the Beloit Ironworks.